seated while we get ourselves set up at the front.
Good morning. My name is Henry Cole, and along with Allison Colvin, I'm one of the co-chairs of Redeemer's Refuge Settlement Committee. Over the past 4 years, our Refugee Settlement Committee has settled 11 people from 3 countries. And we really hope to be able to continue to do our work in 2020 and beyond. At this time, I'd like to acknowledge the members of the Refugee Settlement Committee. Some of them are here, some not with us this morning. Susanna Jacobs, Paul McLean, Sally Beth McLean, Mickey Frederman, Gloria Massager, Teresa Capusta, Bill Horan, Mary Horan, Mark Walker. And these people come both from our own community, the Church of the Redeemer, and from beyond our walls. It is truly an interfaith community. Along with that interfaith community, integral in this refugee settlement have been Abdul Ali and Muhammad Ali. Abdul and Muhammad are brothers, Eritrean Canadian brothers, who fundraised extensively and who brought the case of these 4 Eritrean men to the attention of ORA, the African United Refugee Alliance, who then brought them to Church the Redeemer's attention. And in partnership with Abdul and Muhammad, we have been able to sponsor these 4 men. So I would like to acknowledge and say a hearty hello to Muhammad Ali and Abdul Ali. The 4 Eritrean men were welcoming. Came from Eritrea. They had to travel through Sudan under the radar, under the threat of being returned to Eritrea, and through the work of our committee, they have come to Canada. With the committee, we have provided the men with a furnished apartment. We've set them up with government documents, with bank accounts, with phones, internet, the schooling, as well as arranged medical, dental, and optical care. They've developed their English language skills. They've had job training. They have jobs. They're on track to get their Canadian citizenship. We're delighted to have both Abdul and Muhammad here, and we're delighted to have the 4 men. There's Ibrahim Ahmed. Abdul Hussein. Taha Ibrahim. And Omer Wasi. Now, Abdul, Taha, and Abdul will be speaking with Paul McLean about their experiences traveling to Canada and since they arrived in Canada.
So thank you very much. This is a short opportunity to get to know you guys just a little bit so that you can share with us some of your experiences both before coming to Canada and then after you have been in Canada. And so what it's been like for you in the first 10 months. So I'm going to start with way back when and ask, why did you have to leave Eritrea? Who wants to start?
Sorry. First of all, how are you? Good morning. I lived in Eritrea because there is no freedom of speech or belief. If you are against the government, you will be arrested. There is no party controlling the country and one TV channel. It is like North Korea of Africa. You can't do anything.
It's hard to live in Eritrea. there is one party controlling the country. If you are against the government, you will be in jail. So the only way that everyone has is just to escape the country. So that was the only solution they all had, and many Eritreans had. And unfortunately, some of them, they passed away on the sea, or they ended up with the smugglers, or in a jail in a different country like Libya or Yemen. So we are lucky that they are here.
Well, now, you guys have been here for about 10 months.
Right.
So what would you say are the best things so far?
We have the chance to go to school, work, and legalize.
So you're here legally.
Yeah.
I don't think you can work and school.
I will say one thing. They have the right to live as a person, as a human. They have the opportunity to dream for the future opportunity. They can live freely. They can go to the doctor, go to school, find a decent job, go to gym, so they can live here as a human.
You know, it's interesting. These are things that probably all of us just take absolutely for granted. Don't even think about it. And yet,
you know, you come here and it's just like such a change, because absolutely these things are there for you. About in the last 10 months, what are the most difficult things for you if you settle in Canada? What's the hardest?
First of all, I don't speak English. I can now little. I can in Canada is difficult. Boys are in school very boys are in language.
Weather and language. I'm just wondering, when did you first start to learn English?
How long ago? 7 months.
For 7 months of English. Okay, so part of this whole settlement, the idea is to give people support and help to settle in Canada. So I'm just wondering, could you tell us what have been the most helpful things? What have been the best supports for you as you try to settle in Canada?
Support is for, as you debated, to life in Canada, having my cousins with my the church people is helped me a lot of, I say, appreciate.
I would say, first of all, thank you for all of the members of the sponsoring committee. You may know or you may not know all of them, but they are very helpful people. The church and sponsoring committee have helped us a lot from the beginning, even before they come. They helped us with organizing the budget for them, helped us with the furniture, with waiting all of them at the airport, giving them the right to home, helped them with the schooling, having IDs, even simple things like opening a bank account or finding a family doctor. Even with their sports, they were lucky all they have bikes, they have boxes, they all have library cards. You may think this simple things, but it means a lot for them, for any newcomer or refugee. And they were following up with them to make sure that they are improving in their schools, their health is good. They all find jobs. They know the city. They know how to manage their financial, their budgets, I mean, their monthly expenses. So I would say thank you. Thank you for everyone who has donated small thing like a microwave, or even a person who donated financially, or just remember them in their prayers or wishes. So thank you.
Well, I think with each of those things you mentioned, there's a story behind it. We don't have time to talk about how they got their bicycles, but that's a good one. Okay, now as you look ahead for the next year, what are your hopes for the coming year? Who wants to go?
Next year, I'm working already, but I hope I'm married.
Okay, so you're working and married?
Yeah,
okay.
I want to look my family because 12 years I don't see my family. Only till I call him, but I won't see my family.
To learn English skills and find a full-time job and get married. Also, I look my family. Also, I don't look my family 10 years.
This seems to be a common theme, like, seeing family, getting a job, increasing English skills, but also getting married. Like, is that for everybody?
Well, I will see the two things they are talked about is, number one, seeing their families, because unfortunately, you can imagine a young person who didn't see his family for 10 years. Abdul here, when he left our country, Eritrea, he was, I think, 18 or 17. So you can imagine that a person who was 17 years old, he left his family to another country, is married because they are in the 20s, I think. And we are lucky that Ibrahim, one of them, is traveling next week to see his family and get married. Umar also is traveling in early February, so get married. So we wish them luck. Say congratulations. And we wish for all of them, all of you, a better next year and a better future.
Well, we certainly hope that your dreams for the coming year can be fulfilled. Absolutely. Anything you want to add? I've got a couple of questions. Just grab one. Anything else? No.
Okay. I am here today. Thank you for all support that you have extended to us for the time arrived at Canada. I am super excited. Identity, education, health, car, and other physical things. Never forget how I wish in the big change that you made in my life. Appreciate you all. Thank you so much for my church. Thank you so much.
So I've got a couple of questions just around you. So you and your brother, were prime movers. You were the ones who, wanted to do this settlement and, raise some money and approach Dora, which then makes the Redeemer getting involved. So what was the motivation for you and your brother and your mother to do this settlement and bring in some more refugees? Like, why did you do this?
Well, 10 years ago, my family and I were refugees in Egypt. So we really know how hard is it to live as a refugee in a different country that you don't speak its language. So it's really a challenge. that we have faced. We were lucky enough to come here and achieve our dreams. So we thought, why not give the opportunity for other people who are facing the same challenge. So we were lucky enough to meet with Iora, and we were more lucky enough that he accepted us and introduced us to our new nice friends, the Church of Redeemers. And we started the journey together, I think, from early or late 2016. We met with Henry and Elson, and then they have introduced us to the whole friendly team in the sponsoring committee. And here we are, celebrating the almost first year in Canada. So we hope to do it again. We hope that the church can help, as it's always, more people to come here and have the right to live as a human. So thank you again.
One last question I thought for you. As you know, this is a faith community, and so we're wondering, what is the role of your faith in this settlement process?
Well, as all faces ordering us or saying to us that we need to help the people who need our help, I would say my religion, as all other religion, is ordering people to help, to donate, to volunteer. So I would say it doesn't matter if you're a Muslim, Christian, Jewish, or Hindu. This is the right thing to do. I did that. The people, all of you have done that, and you will be doing it. So helping is something very important that we all need to do, and I wish that we all will be doing. This is the way the Canada has been built. It's based on our diversity, and this is our strength. So I think this is another thing we do.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just got a couple of concluding remarks, and you can rejoin your fellows down in the front there. Thank you very much indeed. Great. So just a couple of things to wrap this up. You may find this strange after meeting these delightful guys, but when we were first approached for this sponsorship, we were told that it's actually very difficult to find sponsors for four young men. Most sponsors want families with small children. And so Redeemer was seen as a unique congregation that might respond to this request. Secondly, just to emphasize one thing that came out a bit in the interview, when a couple of weeks ago we were sort of doing a dry run for this interview and going over the questions, and it was clear to me that one of the most moving things for the guys was that this congregation raised money, got furniture, cleaned the apartment, worked with Abdel, Muhammad, and Sada, the mother, all without ever having met them or knowing who they were. This sort of appreciate the depth of these simple things. Sponsorship is a pure gift, and they were very clear that they are forever grateful. Third thing. Now, we've worked in partnership with the two brothers and mother for this platinum sponsorship. This is increasingly the model for settlements. sponsoring Syrian refugees, groups from churches, mosques, synagogues, and so on, who may not have the sustained resources of volunteers and money, are partnering with community groups who have some resources but are not shared agreement holders to continue this work. The benefits of working together are that privately sponsored refugees generally have greater supports and therefore more successful settlements. And as you can see this morning, partnerships create very important and life-giving relationships that we would not have if we attempted sponsorships entirely on our own. Finally, why do we do this? What has our faith got to do with this? That's a question I asked Abdul, but it's really a question for all of us. Now, I just say, just for myself, it's a very practical opportunity to be generous and to be in solidarity with displaced, homeless people, a major issue for our time. Jesus is pretty clear. Our Heavenly Father has been generous to us, and we are to do likewise. As he says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. And I think we've received that measure already in our relationships we formed through this sponsorship.